Matthew chapter 27 is where we're going to be tonight. I grew up in a Christian home, but things were very liberal in a sense, so you can just kind of do everything that you wanted to do in the name of Christ. And liberality expounded in my home. My wife was fortunate to grow up in a very strong Baptist home, and so when she told me that we are going to be going on, when I told her we're going to go on deputation, there's a few pointers she gave me. And she knew that I am very charismatic in my personality, and so she said, the first thing I want to tell you is that if you feel like you want to say something, don't, okay? So I'm going to try to remember that tonight. I'll have try to pull back on a few jokes that I may want to just express, knowing they don't ever work from behind the pulpit, but they definitely work from out there. And so we would definitely want you to pray for us as we try to travel the country, and me first time, her third time, I believe. And so we're definitely trying to get some raise some awareness, especially like you guys may do here, knocking doors and just raising awareness for your particular area that there's a need for Christ. And so are we. And so tonight, as with some of that as our theme of our thought, going into the message, Matthew chapter 27, this is going to be a familiar portion for most of us tonight. We're going to pick up in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jew? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders and answered nothing, then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Father, I thank you for this day. I do pray, Lord God, for these next few moments. Again, although they may be brief, I pray, Lord God, that you would just please bless this message. I pray, Lord God, that we would set aside anything that we had going on in today. Maybe frustration, maybe bosses, maybe family, maybe in-laws, whatever it may have been. I pray, Lord God, that any frustration or any type of thing that could cause us to not be able to listen, I pray, Lord God, that we would set it aside with your help. And I pray, Lord God, that we'd take heed to what we hear tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach a message very, very plainly entitled, Choosing Christ. Notice this, that in according to the USA Today, an average person makes 35,000 decisions per day. Now, this is in contrast to young children who make roughly 3,000 decisions a day. Now, you can realize that making decisions is an everyday thing. You can't get around it, especially when you grow up. There's a lot more decisions with a lot more weight that needs to be made. One person said this, "Some people are very decisive when it comes to avoiding decisions." You see, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. Decisions are just generally and very specifically a part of everyday life. But did you know that Christianity is the same way? I mean, you must make decision after decision in the Christian life. If you're not maybe persuaded on that, listen to a few verses. Joshua chapter 24. "And it seem evil unto you to serve unto the serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How about Joshua, 1 Kings 18:21? "Elijah came in unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." You see, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior isn't the only decision that needs to be made in the Christian life. Now, we understand biblically that's where it all begins. Making a decision for Jesus Christ, that is the springboard in which all other decisions regarding our Christianity derive from. But it is not where it ends. The question tonight I want you to consider is, what spiritual decision have you been avoiding? Some of us may need to get discipled. Some of us maybe in this room may need to be discipled or maybe baptized or need to decide to start witnessing on a regular basis. Or maybe we need to start deciding on a time and a place in which we have our Bible reading consecutively and continually. No matter what it may be in your life in regards to spiritual decisions, there must be a decision and a promptness to make those decisions. Because in our Christian life, we can't just sit around thinking that we're just going to get by another day without choosing Jesus Christ. You see, too many Christians are in the mode of contemplation. I'll say it this way. We wait for the direction of God instead of making the decision for God. Sometimes God, we know exactly what God it is wants us to do. Sometimes that God has already expressed upon our hearts, and sometimes we throw so many fleeces out, and God says, enough with the fleece. Enough with the hesitation. I want you to make the decision. I want you to make the decision that I've already put on your heart. After 10 minutes of standing in front of the school's vending machine, a young boy named Todd finally made the decision to buy the Snickers over the Milky Way. Is anybody on the side of Todd? Yeah, maybe, yeah. I'm with Todd there. Impressed with his decision, Todd made his way to the bus only to find out that his bus left him. Todd's long-winded decision costed him a ride home. Notice this. So often we stand before God deliberating which decision would taste better, not understanding that our delayed decision making may cost us more than we realize. There must be an urgency about certain spiritual decisions. Did you know that heaven and hell are filled with people wishing they made a decision? The contextual background of this particular portion of Scripture is probably pretty familiar. Jesus had been wrongly accused. Pilate is about to make the yearly prisoner swap. And Pilate is asking them to make a decision who they want. There will come a time in your life where you would have to choose Jesus or Barabbas. Now, Barabbas here in a minute, we'll give a definition to it, but notice in verse 15 of this chapter. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Have you ever been in that place? Choose Jesus or your job. Choose church, tithing, witnessing, or save face. An increase in food that month. Wait next time, and now they're still going to be lost next week. I'll talk to them next week. We sometimes choose God the way we choose our teammates in a pickup basketball game. We choose what may benefit us. If we have a better chance of winning, then we'll choose God. If not, then Christ is then deduced to the kid that no one wants on their basketball team. We view God as a hindrance to our goals or our achievements. But let me tell you, as a young man who used to be addicted to drugs for about 10 years, choosing Jesus Christ always is the best idea. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're facing, I guarantee you, he must increase and I must decrease is still in the Bible, and there is power within choosing Jesus. I don't know who your Barabbas is. I don't know what your Barabbas is, but every one of us, there will be facing a Barabbas in our life, and I implore you to choose Christ. Everyone has a Barabbas, something or someone you choose over Christ. Your Barabbas might be a friend. Your Barabbas might be a job. It might be a boyfriend or a relationship or a girlfriend. Your Barabbas might be some type of secret sin. Here's the definition of a Barabbas. Barabbas is someone or something that takes your eye off God. Something that you choose instead of Christ. I ask you tonight to choose Christ. Three situations, very quickly this evening, three situations that will hinder your ability to choose Christ. Number one, the crowd around you. Look in verse number 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in the dream because of him." Verse 20, but the chief priests and the elders, notice this, persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. I went to West Coast Baptist College, and it was the first college I had ever attended. I actually didn't graduate high school. I was a dropout in the 10th grade, and I decided to go ahead and get my GED, and so learning was definitely something that I had to redo, especially getting in college. And in the short portion of my time at college, I've noticed that some of the classes that I took or didn't take depended upon if my friends took them or they did not take them. And so we got together. Before we chose our classes, we said, "Are you going to take this?" "No, I'm not going to take this year. I'm going to take it next year." "So, all right, I'll take that one with you." And a lot of times my decisions was really based upon maybe the crowd around me or my friends. And I know that it may be true, and you could probably go back to a particular point in your life where that may have been true to you in your situation. How many times, the question is, how many times have you heard God calling from a message but never lifted up one finger to answer that call because of someone nearby? Oh, if they knew that I struggled with that. We care more about the person who likes us instead of the God who loves us. We care more about the person who doesn't really know us instead of the God who knows everything about us. Peter denied Christ three times because of the crowd around him. Paul talked to the church at Galatia, and he said this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Notice these words. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" So often you hear stories of people missing God's call because of a husband, or God's call because of a wife or a friend or a parent that wasn't on board. The crowd around us has a way to mold our mentality on our ability to persuade or not to persuade someone else. It has a lot of times it's the crowd around you will depend upon your success. I heard this, I'm not sure how true it is, but I was taking a financial seminar one time, and they said that if you take, they say that, I don't know who they are, but they are pretty smart, and they said that if you take the average person, if you take your five friends, so if you've got five friends, that's really good in this society today. And if you average out what they make, that generally, by definition, is what you'll make. Some of you are saying, "I got to change some friends." And so this is the power of the crowd around you. This is what happens. I tell you the truth, that when you get teenagers away from maybe even the parents, or maybe even other distractions across the street there, they can make decisions, good or bad, based upon other people in that general area. I made great decisions as a teenager when I went to camps. I made great decisions in college because the people around me. Maybe not Bible classes, but I made good decisions nevertheless. who around you hinders your ability to choose Christ? See, the wrong crowd tells you to enjoy the weekend and skip church. The wrong crowd tells you to save your money instead of tithe. The wrong crowd tells you to believe the gossip, not the Bible. See, is there a Barabbas in your crowd? And let me ask you, are you the Barabbas? Are you the one telling your husband or your wife or your friend, not tonight, probably next week? You see, the crowd around you will hinder your ability to choose Christ. Secondly, like I said, I'm going to make this very quick this evening. The second situation that will hinder your ability to choose Christ is the idea that something else is better. Look at verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. The idea that something else is better will cause you to choose someone or something other than Christ. Do we remember who Barabbas was? I mean, we've read the scripture and we've maybe seen a movie or two or something along those lines in the sense that it kind of depicted who Barabbas was. But if you're not remembering, he was known as a notable prisoner. This word notable carries the idea meaning remarkable or famous. The Gospels reveals a few of his crimes. Notice with me as I give them to you tonight. He was known as a murderer. He was known as a rebel, meaning another place he was told he was a certain sedition or one who caused riots. He was known as a thief. So here we have before a group of people, one standing Barabbas and another place standing Jesus. Who would you choose? Verse 21 says this, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. This is huge. Let us step back from our understanding of this passage of Scripture. Let us step back for a moment and find out what's really going on here. Notice this. It says that they chose the taker of life over the giver of life. They chose the rebel over the redeemer. They chose a riotous man over the Prince of Peace. You see, the Barabbas in our life will murder your chance of peace. The Barabbas in our life will steal away your chance of a godly relationship. The Barabbas in your life will encourage rebellion. Do you know what do you know who that Barabbas is yet? You see, the Barabbas in your life will make it seem as if Jesus is just standing in the way of what you want. Verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. You see, they thought that Jesus stood in their way of happiness and contentment, so they looked at Barabbas as a way of getting what they truly wanted. Anything seems better than Jesus when you have your eyes on Barabbas, doesn't it? Anything seems better when you have your eyes on Barabbas. See, when you are around the wrong people, it's only a matter of time that your ideology mirrors that of your crowd. Anything would be better than the ministry. Anything would be better than fill in the blank. But if I tell you now, would you believe me that it's not? Anytime that maybe sin or temptation arises in our life, it is not just a happenstance. Do you know that it is a strategic move on behalf of Satan to get you to fall? It is not just, oh, I kind of fell into temptation today. No, it is something set up for you to accept and to receive Barabbas rather than Jesus. You see, the idea that anything else is better than Christ is one of the things that will hinder your ability to choose Christ. Notice verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. They said, whoa, if, If I knew choosing Barabbas over Jesus would have these types of consequences, I probably wouldn't have chosen that. If I knew that maybe doing this or making that decision in regarding this job would cause me to stay away from church or not be able to do what I want with my family, I probably wouldn't have made that decision for Barabbas. I probably wouldn't make that decision after a life of small decisions, after a small decision. Yeah, I'll tell you this one. I was thinking, man, you know, there's a lot of windy roads over here. There is a lot of windy roads. My wife had to look at me and almost hit me a few times, like, are you okay? Because, you know, the side of the roads where they've got those, like, you know, those things, like the divots for truck drivers if they're sleeping and for people like me. I was thinking, you know, and I was thinking about the message tonight. I said, how does one person go from one direction, you know, doing right, doing what they need to do to get to a completely different direction? Then I thought about these windy roads. Have you ever been driving down one of these windy roads and you saw a curve and it looked like a pretty extensive curve and you thought you may need to slow down, so you decided to slow down, but when you realize you got to the curve, oh no, this is good, I got this, I don't have to slow down. Sometimes you do, but sometimes it's so gradual you don't need to do it. Then I thought, that's the same type of person. You see, how does one person get from going in one direction and completely go to another? It's gradual. You don't necessarily feel it. You don't feel like you need to slow down. You feel like you're in control of this situation. This idea that, you know, I can maybe skip church a few times or be able to skip tithing a few times or maybe not talk to this person. It's a gradual effect, because when you think that you can choose something outside of Christ, it's a gradual effect, like a windy road in which you think you must stop and you realize, oh, I got this. Choosing Jesus Christ should be the pattern in which someone can look in our life and see that we do. I can tell you that I'm not always the best at it. My wife will tell you. But you know what, I try. So 2-3 situations in which that will cause you to hinder your ability to choose Christ. Notice the last one, and we'll close. When we fail to see His worth. Are you guys still with me this evening? When we fail to see His worth. Verse 22, let's follow it along and we'll close. Pilate said unto him, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Oh, they didn't even go to, just kick him out of the neighborhood. Make sure he doesn't do it again. I mean, they didn't even go there. I mean, they went from, hey, we believe you, it's great, we receive, even my brother just got his eyesight back, crucify him. Oh man, we appreciate the loaves of bread and the things that you did out in the desert, crucify him. I mean, there was no, it was just immediately we had lost focus of his worth. I mean, we completely forgot what he did in the desert. Now we're in plush land, and now we're doing good. Now we've got maybe an increase in our job. Now we're doing good financially. And that's the case, right? Isn't that always the case? When things are going good, we tend to slick back or slide back from the things in which God has provided us. I tell you, I guarantee you the truth, that something that you're discontented with always came with a desire in the beginning. You always desire what you now are discontent with. Did you know maybe that car that you hate, somebody wishes they had that car that you are discontented with? Maybe your husband or your wife, you're discontent with them. And did you know that somebody's praying for a wife or a husband just like that? They said, if they knew, only if they knew. No, honestly. We forget and lose sight of his worth. If Judas saw the worth, I believe that if Judas saw the worth of Christ, he may have never betrayed Christ. If the Pharisees saw the worth of Christ, they would have never killed Christ. If the Romans saw the worth of Christ, they would have never mocked him on the cross. And if we see the worth of Christ, we would never choose Barabbas. See, all of heaven reveres the name of Christ. All of hell reveres and is petrified by the name of Christ. It is us humans that are the only ones that overlook his worth. In 1990, in Ottawa, Canada, a 24-year-old young man by the name of Curtis decided to rob a bank. True story. Visiting the bank every day for a week, Curtis devised a plan to rob the bank. The night before the robbery, Curtis had dinner at his parents' house. After dinner, Curtis slipped into his parents' room, opened his dad's dresser, and stole his father's gun. Now armed with a plan and a pistol, the next day Curtis robbed the bank. Robbing the bank at gunpoint, Curtis stole $6,000 and made his way back to his apartment, only to have the Royal Canadian Mounted Police bust down his door and seize both the money and the gun. You see, that was no ordinary gun, though. In his possession, it was a Colt 45 semi-automatic made by the Ross Rifle Company back in 1918. This limited edition antique firearm was valued at $100,000, more than 16 times the value of the stolen money. You see, what was in his possession was worth more than he had thought. He had overlooked the value of something that he had. I hope that you are not like me in times of my life, that I overlook the value of something that I already have. I overlook the value of Jesus Christ. I overlook the value of His forgiveness. I overlook the value of His mercy, His grace, His dependability, His awesomeness, His ability to just come through when I need. I forget that in the valley. But let me tell you, if there is a Barabbas in our life, and if there is a Barabbas that it's in our crowd, or if there is a decision or idea in which we are contemplating that thinks that we can just overlook the value of Jesus Christ, it will cause you to choose it or him or her over Jesus every time. Because we have got to remember, if we remember that there is value in Jesus, that He was the one that forgave you of our sins, that He was the one that immediately made a seat in heaven for you at the moment that you repented and turned away from your sin, if we remember the value in which Jesus has, we would never choose Barabbas. We would never try intentionally be Barabbas. Let me just remind you that Christ died in the place of Barabbas. He died that Barabbas could go free. He died that the chains of your Barabbas could be broken. Terms of indecision. Make up your mind. I'm still thinking. I'm still on the fence with that. I'll get back to you. These terms of indecision should never be applied to choosing Christ. As long as you have a Barabbas in your life, Christ will always take a second seat, a back seat. What spiritual decision have you been avoiding? Three situations that will hinder your ability to choose Christ. Number one, the crowd around us. Number two, the idea that anything else is better. Number three, we fail to see His worth. Three things you need to do. Identify the Barabbas in your life. Pinpoint the idea or crowd that causes your decision-making ability. And number three, answer the question, how can I restore Christ's worth in my life? I ask you, choose Jesus, not Barabbas.